Let us remain standing as we read the scripture for today. As you know, we're reading in the book of Matthew, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And these are the words of Jesus, who is the Lord of all. So give your full and undivided attention to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Worship team, thank you so much for leading and sharing beautiful music with us. Well, as some of you know, our daughter Rachel and our son-in-law Julian, who live in Charlotte, are moving to Europe. They're moving to Brussels to work at a church, and their plans are to do that this summer. So my wife and I were there a couple weeks ago, and they had asked us to do projects around the house. We washed the outside of the house, and we did stuff on the inside, and there were lots of things that they wanted to get rid of, and so we came home with a bunch of boxes of this, that, and the other thing. One of the things that came home with were two big, heavy boxes of books, and this was one of the books that was in there. Okay, so let me read it. 399 games and puzzles and trivia challenges, specially designed to keep your brain young. Well, I am 57, and I want to keep my brain young, so let's start early, right? And perhaps some of you have done little Sudoku or quizzes or such things like that, but I am right now at about, 20 or 30 pages into it, and I am going to do a quiz with you called Finish the Idiom. Finish the Idiom. So, can you identify the foods that are going to complete this particular expression? Well, that guy is a couch potato. That thing is as flat as a pancake. Right on. Okay, that guy is bringing home the
bacon.
This is, the proof is in the
pudding.
Very good. Oh, he's just got sour grapes. How about this one? Oh, she spilled the
beans.
Right on. Let me see this. Those people in that church were packed in there like
sardines.
Right on. Oh, that girl is as nutty as a okay. Well, I was doing these things with my son, and there's like 20 more of these, and he said, "Dad, you better quit while you're ahead. Don't do too many of them because you're going to lose the interest of your people." All right. So I will put that away. But if you were interested in doing a little more, because I'm like loving this. I could do that all day. Or as I like to say, six ways from Sunday. Well, here we are on Sunday, and we're going to get to the Word, and you ask yourself the question, what is it about this particular set of games? And one of the games that they do is other things like opposites. Okay, so if I say the word up, what's the opposite of that? If I say black, what is it? If I say big, you say small. And if I say tall, you say? Okay, the reading of the scripture today, these two small verses, Jesus juxtaposes four realities. Okay, when he says about, for example, the gate is wide, there's another gate and it is
narrow.
He talks about one path being easy and the other one being exactly. He talks about one leading to life and the other one leading to
yes.
And finally, he says, on the one path there are many and on the other path there are. The sermon today is about those juxtapositions, okay? So look at this parable that he's teaching. He's talking about a path, and he's describing the path, and who's on it, and where does it go to? I have said in my sermons before that this Sermon on the Mount is like Jesus being the true Moses. Okay, but the fact is, everything in the Old Testament points to who? Jesus. In fact, he is having a conversation with the religious leaders. In John 5, he said, "You study the scriptures because you know that they lead to life." And I am the life. And yet you reject me. He's counseling the religious leaders then to trust in him. Jesus is not only the new Moses, but he is the new David. He is the son of David, but he is all that David was intended to be and more, right? David wrote about him in the Psalms. Psalm 1 talks about two different realities. There's a tree that is a tree of righteousness, and it is planted firmly by the stream, and it is producing fruit in all its seasons. But then he's juxtaposing that with also the way of death. Solomon, the son of David. Jesus is the greater Solomon. Solomon writes this beautiful book called the Proverbs, and he starts by saying, "My son." And he says, there is a path of righteousness, and there is a path of death. Okay? Talks about two personified realities. There's the woman wisdom, and there's the woman folly. And the advice of a loving Solomon to his son, and the advice that we receive today is, don't pursue folly, but pursue wisdom. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, is the wisdom of God. When Jesus says, we have two gates, and one is wide, and one is narrow. Okay? Well, in another place, in John, Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the gate. There are so many people that choke at the idea of having to put their trust in Jesus. Nowadays, some people can wrap their head around the idea of God and maybe even a spirit. But Jesus, where does he fit into the package? And many people reject the way of truth because they can't accept Jesus. And that was true then. Those religious leaders said, no way. In fact, Jesus likened himself in the scriptures to God. And he's like, what's your problem? Are you trying to kill me because I did all these miracles? No! You can do all the miracles you want, but you have put yourself on the same level as the Father. And that's blasphemy, and now we're going to kill you for it. And ultimately, Jesus was crucified and killed for that very reason. They didn't understand that the Messiah was the incarnation of God coming into his world to save him. The good news. Well, Jesus will say about the gate. Well, the people that are lost, the people that are following their own will, because there's like the Jesus way and then there's my way, right? And Jesus said in this sermon, it's like, you can't serve God and you can't serve mammon at the same time. You got to choose. You got to choose who you're going to serve. Is it going to be you? Are you going to be the master? Or is God going to be the master? So there's this recurring theme, of course, of who are you going to serve? So is it going to be your way? You're going to have your way? Because here's the deal with your way. The gate has to be wide, right? Because I got so much baggage. I want to gratify the sinful desires of the flesh. And that's a big valise. And I want to do whatever I want to do. And I want to be selfish. And I want to pursue materialism. And I want to pursue this, that, and the other thing. Man, you got to be loaded up to get through that gate. Because that's the path. It's the path of you did it your way. Right? Jesus likens entry into the kingdom of heaven like going through the eye of a needle. Now, some of you here, you probably handle needles from time to time. The older that I get, the more difficult I find it is to thread the needle. Wouldn't you agree? Got to get my specs on. Sometimes even a magnifying glass. Okay? There's not a lot that gets through the eye of that needle. And you know what it is? And why that is? Because you have to shed yourself of your ego. In order to come into the kingdom, you have to say, I'm not sufficient in myself. I can't save myself. All the things that I pursue and want in my life, they're all dead ends, ultimately. Jesus, only Jesus, the song says. Jesus, I need you. I need thee every hour. And it is only when we strip ourselves of all of our encumbrance, all of our baggage, and we come, as it were, naked, unclothed, empty-handed to the Master and say, Jesus, I need you. We found the gate, and it's narrow. It's Jesus. I'm the gate, he says. In another place, he says, I am the way. See, the gate enters into a path, right? And again, either the path of Jesus or the path of self. What's it going to be? Jesus says, I am the way. Isn't that cool? Jesus is not only the gate through which we must pass, but he is also the path. Okay? When we talk about the gospel, the good news of the gospel is I need Jesus and I come into the faith. But it doesn't stop there. I need Jesus every moment of my life. The gospel isn't just a one-time deal, my brothers and sisters. The gospel is everything. As my good friend Richard at Montreal used to talk about it. The gospel isn't just the on-ramp to the highway. It's the whole highway. And you'll experience that. And those of you who know that you've been on this path for a number of years, you know that you need, that we need the gospel every day. The gospel. Jesus is the way. Again, you can have it your way or you can have it the Jesus way. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. Now, some of us do try to have our cake and eat it too, let's be honest. Like we're on the Jesus way, but we find ourselves being very selfish every day of our life. But here is the heart cry of the true believer. Jesus, more of you and less of me. That's the heart cry of every true believer. And we pray that that will be more and more true as we as we go along the path of faith. And that it might be true, more true tomorrow, that there's less of us than there was today. And next year than last year. And next decade than last decade. Until finally, my brothers and sisters, we get to the destination. And what is the destination? Jesus said there are two paths. One is a destination of death, of self, and the other one is life. So we will enter into life. Jesus came to give us life. He said, and that abundantly. And that's the title of this sermon, The Abundant Life. Because it's only in Christ that we will really find true happiness. Again, we can try to find happiness in relationships or materialism or having my own way or fulfilling the gratifying desires of my own heart. Yes, but the scriptures are very clear on that. The wisdom of the ages is that's a dead end. And not only a dead end, but it actually leads unto death. It leads to destruction. It leads to alienation from God. And it is our true hope, and it is our firm conviction by faith that when Christ calls us home, we will see him face to face. For the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is the longing of the heart of every true follower of Jesus, that this path leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. All wrapped up in one. When we pass through the gate of faith, when we walk the path of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, and then we enter into life eternal with him. Oh, mind hath not seen, eye hath not seen, mind hath not conceived what he has prepared for us. What a joyful, joyful journey we may be on, and also what joy we get to look forward to. Another juxtaposition that Jesus brings about here, he says, many are on that path that leads to destruction. Why is that? Because it's the easy way. It's so easy. It feels good, it feels right, you know, do your thing. I'll be me, you do you, right? What does Jesus say about that? It's like, yeah, try that. And when that's failed, I'm here. Jesus is waiting for you. Okay? Because he wants us, as it were, to do him, to live our life abundantly in him. And one of the key metaphors, of course, in John about the abundant life and the fruit-producing kind of life is that we are connected to Jesus. How are we connected to Jesus? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yesterday we were hiking and we kind of got lost, and I had imagined that we might be hiking in the dark. Woo! Have you ever landed up hiking in the dark? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And especially it's a little disconcerting and unsettling when you don't exactly know where you are. But as I was walking that path, I was reminded of the scripture, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But here's the interesting thing, okay? The picture that came to my mind was like of a flashlight where you're in the dark. And we live in a dark world, don't we? Okay, so everything else is dark. The path that Jesus has us on is toward him, and he gives us his word. Okay? And that's another reason why this is a narrow path, because Jesus loves us so much that he says, you can't do that. That's not part of the Christian life. So it's a lot of, no, that's not good for you. It's like a mother that would say, hey, don't stick your hand on the stove. That's going to hurt. Some of your kids are going to be like, oh yeah, I got the memo on that one. I'm good. And others, they just have to learn the hard way. Aren't we the same way in our Christian walk? Really? But here, we don't have to be like that. We don't have to attend the University of Hard Knocks, because we can attend a different university. The University of God's Word, where he teaches us and guides us day by day by day. And so we should cherish the word of God. The psalmist says, I have laid up thy word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Your path, your light, you guide us along the way. Jesus said he is the light of the world. Jesus living through this. Remember he told the religious Pharisees that were studying the Word of God? He says, it all points to me. It all points to me. This is all about me. He is the light of the world. And he is with you, and he is with me. We must cherish that. But we're not alone. We got fellow travelers here. How many are grateful that they have a fellow traveler in their life? I am so grateful for my wife as a fellow traveler. My kids are fellow travelers. But you also are my fellow travelers. Do you understand that? You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're my friends. What a joy to be able to do this together. Jesus said, many are on the path that leads to destruction, but few are on the path that leads to life. My brothers and sisters here at Providence, we are few. We are few. But I much prefer to do life with a few people. Don't you? Let's do life together. Let's worship together. Let's pray together. Let's love Jesus together. Let's serve him together. And though we're not a big fellowship and we don't have all the glitz and the glamour and the smoke fog machines and, you know, the pastor in the skinny jeans, as if we needed that, we have Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we have Jesus. And we are to keep our eyes on him. And so as we travel with our fellow travelers, as humble and as broken and as unbeautiful as we are, it is a joy for me to travel this path with you.
And I think about the things that we do. Again, we're not big, so we don't have 1,000 ministries. But we have some things. Here's one example. Next week, we're going to celebrate Charlotte and William. They're graduating from high school. It's a big deal. We don't have a big youth program. We had 2 people graduating this year. Let's celebrate them well. Let's gather around them next Sunday after church on the green, have a barbecue, you know, blow some whistles, wave some flags, and say, we love you so much. Sign up for that. Be part of it. Money is always good. Students like that. I mean, another example of that is this past Friday, a few of us got together in Frog Level in a kitchen, and we made a meal together. Now, it's so weird right now. It used to be that we could meet with 75 homeless people and just walk and talk and be Jesus. Well, in COVID, there is no connection with any of the very community, the least, the lost, the last, and the lonely that we want to reach out to. All we're providing is a meal. And it seems to some to be so insignificant that they just prefer not to be part of that anymore. And I get that. I'm fine. Join us, don't join us. Whatever season in life you're in, hey, it's all good. But I said to the brothers and sisters that gathered there, I love you, and it is a joy to make a meal together here in this place for the least, the last, and the lost, and the lonely. And remember this, when you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it unto me. When we're making that meal, it's for Jesus. And there's just a few of us, a small handful of people. But that's what Jesus predicted. He said, just a few people are going to travel with you on this road. But I'm with you. In this world, you may experience tribulation. But be filled with joy. Be of good cheer. Because I'm with you, and I have overcome the world. Listen, there are other examples of stuff to do together. This next Saturday, we got a work morning. Okay, we have this beautiful facility, and we're so grateful for it. But, you know, there's such a thing as the law of entropy. You know, things tend to, it's thermodynamics, right? If you don't put energy into a system, what happens to it? It falls apart. If you don't cut the grass, pretty soon you got 2 feet high grass, and people drive by there, and they say, if the outside of their building is any reflection of the reality of what is in their soul, I don't want to be part of that church. You know what I'm saying? Am I getting too real here? Like, God has called us to steward the resources that He has given. If you have a car, keep care of it. Not just because it's in your own enlightened best interest. You don't want to get stuck on the side of the road. But you have been given that gift to steward. So keep it in good shape. Don't take pride in it. Don't let it become your idol. Always say, Lord, how may I leverage this truck for your kingdom? Somebody says, hey, could you please help me with a mattress? And you're like, I'm on it. Hey, somebody needs a load of mulch? I'm on it, because I want this truck to be leveraged for the service of God's people. So, please come on Saturday. Jason Edwards, one of our new elders, he is the chair of the Building and Maintenance Committee, and we thank you for that, and we thank each and every one of you, because you know, in a small church, everybody has to pull together, right? You can't just expect a small cadre of people to do everything. And that's one thing I love about traveling together with a few, because we all kind of pitch in, and it's shoulder to shoulder, it's working together. And each of us has a gift, right? And we're all contributing those gifts, and I'm grateful for that. So that's another thing. We have prayer times in our church, Thursday mornings, Wednesday morning. We're doing the work of prayer together. Jesus said, for wherever 2 or 3 are gathering and agree together on something, My Father in heaven hears that and acts on that. I don't understand the mystery of united, concerted prayer, but I'm all about it because Jesus called us to that. And so consider joining others in prayer. And hey, if it's not convenient for you to get together at 7:30 on a Thursday morning or 10 o'clock here in the fellowship hall on a Wednesday with the ladies, well, be a prayer partner with one or two other people. You know, maybe it's just your spouse at home. That's all good. I'm not here to lay a guilt trip, and I'm not here to explain to you all the 100 things that you need to be involved with, okay? You all are mature enough Christians to hear the voice of the Spirit, and you say, hey, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do this thing. And I've got a full-time job, and I'm a dad, and I'm a husband, and I got other things to do, and I don't need to be at church, you know, from sunup to sundown, okay? So walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. So I just pointed out some of the things that we can be part of here. And, you know, I have this whole list. So because I'm getting older, I actually have to look at my notes. Children's ministry, you know, pretty soon we're going to be opening up here on Pentecost Sunday and getting back to what will be a new normal. And we need volunteers for Sunday school and for nursery. Consider that. We have a Bible club that's going to be starting up in the fall, and a few of us are involved with that. Listen, I think that's so cool, and I'm gonna put a bug in your ear right now, okay? Last year we had a row of boxes for Samaritan's Purse, and Bill Silverthorne said, and so what are we doing for our local kids? And I'm like, well, we got a Bible club. It's like, why don't we do something cool like that for all the kids in the Bible club? We'll give them a box, and there'll be all sorts of cool things in the box. And I said, and are you going to pay for that, Bill? But we're going to need some volunteers for that. And wouldn't that be cool if at the end of, like, around Christmas, we got two places in two schools that we're sharing the Bible and Jesus Christ, praying into the lives of these kids, hugging on them, loving on them. We're doing that in public schools. Hello. We have the freedom to do that. And what if we have a Christmas party for them at the end of that? And, you know, we give them all gifts. Wouldn't that be cool? So, like, just because we're small doesn't mean there are not opportunities to serve the Lord in this place. And the church is many things. I like to think of it in terms of the points of a compass, north, south, and east, and west. North stands for nurture. We all need to be nurtured in the faith. We need to be discipled in the faith. South, service. We need to be serving one another, and we need to be serving Christ in the community, okay? E, for east, evangelism. We got the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're not keeping it to ourselves. We're sharing the good news of the gospel. And W for West, worship. We are the worshiping community of God's people, and we come together, okay? It is a joy, is it not, to be part of the family of God and to know that God loves us with a never-ending, always and forever love in His Son, Jesus Christ. And may you know that He is the way and the truth and the light. And my prayer is that you would always know His love and that you would walk with Him unto that beautiful day when He says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into my rest. Amen.